You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Certainly a question for 2012. Are shootings and gun violence in the American DNA somehow? Certainly seems that way. The question of gun violence and America's identity is once again part of the national conversation. The recent history of these attacks suggests that we carry some predisposition for violence in America. That's a social and cultural question, perhaps, but scientists are asking another question in the wake of these shootings. Researchers at the University of Connecticut are preparing for perhaps the first time to carry out an extensive study of the literal DNA of a mass murderer. Adam Lanza's genome will be mapped in an effort to find mutations linked with increased risk for extreme violence. We've seen our faith in genetic mapping tested time and again as scientists have looked for markers for behaviors, only to discover much more complicated processes of environmental triggers and genetic mechanisms that defy useful and wider application. What can be gained here? This particular study may be hugely controversial. Dr. Paul Applebaum joins us now. He's a practicing psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry, medicine, and law at Columbia University. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
This sounds a little to me like the let's grab Einstein's brain and see if we can figure out why he was so smart. Have we advanced beyond that at this point as these University of Connecticut researchers, well-intentioned, I'm sure, embark on this odyssey here?
Now, I'm not sure we've advanced very far beyond that. In fact, the community of scientists that studies behavioral genetics is fairly perplexed about what's going on in Connecticut today.
And how are they perplexed? In other words, what would they have expected? And what seems to be the, pathology here in Connecticut?
Well, knowledge has advanced to the point where we've been able to identify a small number of gene variants that may be associated with modestly elevated risk of violence. And even most of those data are still controversial and subject to further confirmation. But none of them have been linked to extreme violence or mass violence. And they play such a small role in violence in general that it's almost beyond imagination what the medical examiner in Connecticut and the geneticist he's working with expect to find in Adam Lanza's genome.
So you're outraged by this decision?
Well, I'm more perplexed than outraged. It just seems more like pseudoscience than a genuine scientific investigation.
Although, isn't it the case that psychiatrists and public health officials involved in mental health think that actually a broad screening for signs of maybe general stress, general anxiety, is a good idea in the sense that you could pair people with counseling early on, not expecting them to become mass murderers, but just that's a good idea to have early intervention on mental health for a whole variety of reasons. It's just that you're never going to find a genetic trigger that says tomorrow you're going to be shooting, 26 people.
No, that's exactly right. And in fact, I'm not sure you will ever be able to identify any trigger, genetic or otherwise, that is that specific in its indications. But we're certainly nowhere near the sort of futuristic image of being able to scan someone's genome and identify whether they're likely to be susceptible to mental disorders, much less to acts of violence that are rare and even after they occur, very difficult to explain.
How do you, as a psychiatrist and a professor of law, sort of reconcile these three categories, which seem to be relevant in this Connecticut case? There's the question of people whose mental state is untreated and fundamentally ignored for a period of time, that it slips across one threshold. Then there are people who develop some level of rage that means they will take action, which slips them across another threshold. And then finally, there's the availability of guns, where if you reach out and have a weapon, suddenly your angry identity becomes fundamentally different, or your untreated mental illness identity becomes something much more deadly. How do you reconcile those three things, any one of which, aggressively addressed, might actually do something?
Well, you know, I think about which of those three is easiest to address in practical terms. Given the difficulties we have in identifying people who are likely to commit violent acts in general, much less these rare acts of extreme violence, it suggests that a strategy targeted on trying to locate them and somehow intervene is not going to be very successful, which leaves me focused on the other options that we have at hand, which basically boil down to target hardening. You know, the NRA's idea of putting an armed guard in every school, or maybe two for good measure, or trying to reduce the availability of means to take action of this sort, which may be politically difficult, but in practical terms, may be the easiest to accomplish.
As a psychiatrist and a lawyer in some sense, do you think there is any lesson from the life of Adam Lanza that is available to us and useful to us in any way, either in the, body or in the biography?
Well, not a lawyer, but a psychiatrist, and I would say that remains to be seen. Actually, surprisingly little has come out so far about Adam Lanza's life, and maybe there will be clues in there that will ultimately be useful to us. But it's important to remember that obtaining generalizable knowledge, something we can use to prevent tragedies in the future from a single example, is an extraordinarily unlikely outcome. Typically, in science, we aggregate many subjects, combine their data in order to get some understanding of a phenomenon, and that's part of what's strange about the genome investigation that's going on with Adam Lanza as well. In that, even if abnormalities in the genome are detected, it's going to be almost impossible to do anything more than speculate on their association with his behavior.
Dr. Applebaum, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Paul Applebaum is a practicing psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry, medicine, and law at Columbia University. Coming up, more of your New Year's resolutions unmet and a discussion of the vice presidency on a couple of levels.